Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
So for some people, shopping is a chore. But for others, it inspires different feelings altogether.
You know that thing when you see someone cute and he smiles and your heart kind of goes like warm butter sliding down hot toast? Well, that's what it's like when I see a store.
But for some of those people, some shopping trips can wind up like, well, this.
Declined.
Can you try again?
Really declined.
That's a clip from Confessions of a Shopaholic, which turns one woman's shopping addiction into the subject of a feature-length movie. But the American Journal of Psychiatry recently published a study that says there are, in fact, 10 million Americans who share this addiction. And the problem is widespread enough that the American Psychiatric Association is considering recognizing compulsive shopping as a disorder in a new version of its famous DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders. Joining me now to talk about this is April Lane Benson, a psychologist and author of To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. Dr. Benson, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks so much for having me.
What is compulsive shopping, and is that the correct term?
There are many terms. In the DSM, it would probably be called compulsive buying disorder. Essentially, it means that somebody shops and buys or even thinks about shopping and buying so much that it's impairing their life in a significant way. So we think of it mostly financial, but it's in many other ways, too. Relationships suffer, families come apart, people get fired at work because they're shopping all day on the internet or they're taking two or three jobs.
All the consequences of any other addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. But well, this one is the smiled-upon addiction.
I want to take some calls on this, and I actually don't want to trivialize it, because while shopping is probably fun for most people, and we can laugh, ha-ha, she's a shopaholic, he's a shopaholic, it can be really dangerous for others, as we've already heard. So I want to open the phones. Are you a compulsive shopper? Do you know someone who is? Maybe you were able to get away with your shopaholism because you had enough money to cover, and now you've gotten laid off or otherwise hurting during the recession, and your shopaholism is exposed. How do you deal with it? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC, or if you have a question to help you or someone else deal with shopaholism, 212-433-9692, or make a comment on our website by going to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show for our guest, Dr. Benson. Is there a profile of a typical compulsive buyer?
We used to think so. The studies used to say that it was a 30-something female who'd been buying clothing, jewelry, and shoes since her early 20s. But that's not it anymore. The study that you quoted earlier shows an almost 50-50 split. Men buy different things often. Sometimes they approach the task differently. But especially with the advent of internet shopping, I think men are often having this problem as much as women. I mean, I'm not going to label Thane a shopaholic, but, you know, he spent a great deal of money on an office, and I don't know, you know, what his habits are. But I think that this is a real serious problem in our country.
Do men and women buy different things when they're shopaholics?
I think they tend to. Men sometimes buy bigger ticket items or electronics, watches, as in Bernie Madoff's case, and, you know, CDs, DVDs, cameras, computers, that kind of thing. And women more typically clothing, jewelry, shoes, and accessories. But of course, that's a generalization.
And do you think now, as I was suggesting, when I invited listeners to call in, and our lines are full, by the way, so don't keep trying. We're going to get to as many people on the board as we can. Do you think that there are a lot of people now who are suddenly having their shopaholism revealed even to themselves because suddenly they can't just cover it with their salaries?
Yes, absolutely. I'm certainly getting more traffic to my website. There's much more interest in, you know, people signing up for things to find information. I think there's absolutely a silver lining to the cloud of the recession, as far as I'm concerned. And that is, you know, we have to do more to get in touch with, you know, what's called true wealth, mm-hmm. you know, our non-financial assets, the things that vitalize us and invigorate us. And, you know, because we have luxury fever in this country. We have tongue-in-cheek disease names, appendicitis, affluenza.
Honest in Manhattan. You're on WNYC. Honest, thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling. How are you doing?
All right. You have this problem?
I have a problem. Me personally, I'm a college graduate. I'm going to go to law school next year. So in between, you know, I've been driving limo. Work slow. But ever since, even in college, I have the whole problem. Whenever I'm down, you know, during tests, you get nervous. I go shopping or we go out to eat, just spending money all the time. But since the money's not coming in, work is slow, you still want to go out and spend it, and you start, you know, going negative on your credit cards, and nothing's helping out, you know?
What do you buy, Anis?
I'm a clothing fanatic. The shoes and high-end clothes, you know? Going to Bloomingdale's, charging up the card, and now the card gets maxed out, or they reduce your limit.
Dr. Benson, can you help Anis?
Sure. I think that what you've got to get in touch with is what it is that this clothing is doing for you. You know, are you buying it to put forth a particular image? Are you buying it because you feel out of control in other ways in your life and somehow giving the credit card makes you feel in control? Are you doing it to feel better? You know, what you've got to do is tease out what it is, you know, what it is that's really going on. When you have the impulse to go and buy something, you've got to ask yourself, why am I here? How do I feel? Do I need this? What if I wait? How will I pay for it? And where will I put it?
This sounds just like what my mother always tells me. But it's just like when you're stuck, when you're in the moment, and it's, you know, even though you don't have it, you see something, you try to equalize it in your mind. It's like it's a good price, or you know, you're getting it a good buy, and you just feel like, I'm a compulsive shopper. It's like you go and you go out and you buy something, and you get instant gratification. I feel totally better afterwards.
Yeah, I'll bet not for long.
Honest.
Don't you end up crashing at some point?
That's when you have to go back shop.
Right.
Yeah, but you see? It's a vicious cycle.
That's the vicious cycle. That's what an addiction is, and Honest, good luck. Hopefully you got something out of this. That's a sign of addiction, is when you do something even though you don't actually feel good about doing it, right?
It's really important to create some space between having the impulse and acting on it. That will really make a difference, and those questions will help.
Pablo in Chatham is doing an intervention with his mother, I think. Hi, Pablo.
Hi, good morning. How are you guys? Thanks
good morning. So your mom has a problem?
Yes. I think that my mom is, I guess now I'm realizing that now that we're talking about this topic, that she is a shopaholic. We just always thought she would shop too much, but not that she was actually quite addicted to it. But, she literally every weekend we go out, she has new clothes on, shoes, everything. And then we ask her, where'd you get that from? And she says that it's she bought it, you know, last summer or something. She's had it in the garage or, you know, for a year, and also around the house decorations. And there's something different on the wall in the exact same spot, like every other 2 weeks or so.
And when you call her, Pablo, when you call her on it, what does she say?
She gets actually pretty defensive. She says, "Oh, you know, you guys are." Like, well, yeah, you guys like it when the house looks nice and everything, and the way I look nice. I'm like, yeah, Mom, it is nice, but, like, that's a bit too much, you know. You don't have to be doing this all the time. And I think, I don't know if it has anything to do with it, but she does have a rough relationship with my father. So I wonder if maybe that's her way to sort of maybe vent that out or something, because actually this past week, they take a vacation every winter. For a month back to our home country in Costa Rica. And this winter, they were not going to be able to because of the economic situation. And thankfully, they were able to come up with some money. But I told her, Mom, the reason you have saved up, but the reason is because everything you save,
you spend
it on new clothes. Yeah.
So, Dr. Benson, what about the role of Pablo and others who are the loved ones of the shopaholics? What can they do? It sounds like he tried an intervention and it didn't do much good, at least not yet.
Sure. I think probably you have to ramp up the intensity of the intervention. And what that means is to involve other family members as well so that she feels loved and understood as much as she is going to feel defensive. You know, and of course, this is not something to do until you can figure out some way to help her.
Are there compulsive shoppers in poverty-stricken communities?
There are. I've known of somebody on welfare who compulsively bought baseball cards and didn't have money to eat.
From our webpage, listener asks, why would this be added to the DSM? If you're just tuning in, we started the segment, and we're talking about this partly because we heard that compulsive shopping may be added to the psychiatry book of officially recognized mental disorders, the DSM. Why would this be added to the DSM? Asks our listener, how is it different from other compulsions already in there?
That's a very good question, and I think that's part of the debate. For some, it's thought that compulsive buying has aspects of impulse control disorders and obsessive compulsive disorders, which are both in DSM. However, it's different, and I don't know that it's very different from a lot of other processes. addiction.
So we have 30 seconds left. I could see on the one hand that adding it to the DSM might legitimize the problem in a way that might make it be taken more seriously and help more people. But if it gets categorized as a psychological disorder, does it also run the risk of almost marginalizing the larger issue that we're a compulsively consumer culture?
Yes. Yes. Very well put. Yes. And it's a real problem because, I mean, I think the secret, the ending is for everybody to find out what they're really shopping for, how to get that, and to remember that you can never get enough of what you don't really need.
And we have to leave it there. And hopefully we've gotten enough of April Lane Benson to help some folks who have this problem. Her book is To Buy or Not to Buy, Why We Overshop and How to Stop. Thank you very much.
Ah, you're so welcome.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.